Book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Have your buff bulletin in a fold ready with the other verses that we'll be using today. 'We're coming very close to the end of this discipleship series that we've been doing over a few years now. And the title of this morning's message is Nurturing Navels. Let's ask God's help. Father, we would be quiet and we would recognize that we who have been born of the Spirit of God are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And Lord, we pray that you would take that Spirit today and that Spirit would illumine the Word of God to our hearts and minds. I pray that he would burden us with the things of God. I pray that he would direct us into the ways and the fruit and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would hear the marching orders of the King and that we would follow him with all of our heart. We pray for the glory of the one who bought us. In his name we pray. Amen. May I ask you a confronting question right off? You can't say no. Have you ever discipled anyone? Have you ever discipled anyone? I've often said that I was never discipled, but I've been thinking about that a little more carefully over recent days, and I think that probably, in fact, I was discipled, although I didn't realize it at the time. After trusting Christ as my Savior, my friend Neil gave me some Navigator Bible studies. He was living in a different city. He wasn't coaching me at all, but he knew what resources I needed to get started in the Christian life. He gave those to me and asked me to go ahead and do them. I guess that is discipleship. After I'd been a Christian for about a year, I moved to Newcastle, and there I met another young man. Yes, I was young sometime. I met another young man by the name of Bobby. And Bobby and I started a prayer meeting every week. I guess it was his idea. I guess it wouldn't have been my idea at that time. I don't remember. But we had a prayer meeting every week in my home. And we were constantly, every time we saw each other, talking over the things of God, searching the scriptures to see if these things be so. And so, although that wasn't an official discipleship program, looking back, I think I was being discipled. Later, when I was moving towards missions, I had a pastor who I think deliberately was discipling me, although he didn't announce that. His method was to call me up and say that he was going to a particular place and would I be able to come and help him with such and such. And as we traveled, he would talk to me about spiritual things. He would talk to me about pastoral issues. Yes, looking back, I'm pretty sure that I was being discipled. Now let me ask again, have you ever discipled anyone? It doesn't have to be a formal program of study, but have you taken someone under your wing and sought to see them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, would you ask the Lord right now, where you sit, I'm not going to be hammering this through the message, but would you right now, where you sit, ask God to give you someone to disciple? Would you seek to be making disciples? May it be your passion. And if we're going to be making disciples, we need to know how to nurture those disciples. Calling discipleship spiritual parenting is a helpful illustration to understand the commitment that is needed, the care that is needed, the teaching that is going to be needed in discipleship, that nurturing of the young Christian. The new Christian is a babe in Christ. You have to teach them to walk. You have to teach them how to be able to feed themselves from the Word of God, how to obey the Lord when He speaks into their life, how to bear the fruit of the Christ in their lives. So the concept of spiritual parenting is taught everywhere in the New Testament. Let me give you some examples of that. Can you hear the anguish of Paul as a spiritual parent when he says to the Galatians, in Galatians 4 and verse 19, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He's wanting to see them follow Christ, and he is in agony over them. Can you hear a word of discipline as Paul speaks to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14? I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Or what about the tender care of a parent, as Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the Spirit, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and the protectiveness of a parent in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains. Also, John the Elder. Excuse me. John the Elder writes to a whole church recognizing the levels of spiritual maturity within the church and seeking to disciple each of those levels of spiritual maturity. He's writing to children. He's writing to teens or young men, and he is writing to fathers. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children, because you have known the Father, have come to know the Father. Verse 14, I have written to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Yes, parenting is a good analogy for how we should go about discipleship. If you have been discipled by someone, then you will have a pattern to be able to disciple others. If you are bearing the fruit of Christ's life, of Christ's righteousness in your life, then you'll know how to help others to bear fruit in their lives also. Or that is, to use the analogy that we've been using as we move through this series, if you are a fruitful navel orange tree bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you will help be able to know how to nurture other people, that they might be fruitful navel orange trees also. You might be able to nurture navels. But if you are not sure how to disciple, the concept of parenting is a very helpful concept to know how to go about it. We need to be making disciples, for we have not completed our own growth in discipleship until we are discipling someone else. The pattern we've been following in the last two messages is a pattern written to parents. And again, that analogy to discipleship of parenting is very helpful. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So here we have the fruitful navel orange tree. This person is loving God with all their heart and soul and strength. They're bearing the fruit of Christ in their lives. And that's the first level. Secondly, in verse 6 we read, and the words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And so we who are have matured somewhat in Christ, bearing the fruit of Christ in our life, we've received the engrafted word, we've become word filled, and now we are teaching others also. We're also seeking that others become fruitful navel orange trees. Verse 7 continues, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, because it's with our hands that we serve. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's with It's with the eyes that we see in our minds that we think. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, for when you go out, you will live according to the word of God, and on your gates, and when you come in your homes, we will also live by the word of God. And so the whole of life is influenced by the word of God. We parent our children by modeling and teaching and watching over them. So we see the three levels: bearing the fruit ourselves, teaching others, and then modeling. In terms of spiritual parenting, we could summarize those verses in this way. First, being a God-loving example. Secondly, being a word-filled teacher. And thirdly, being a nurturing leader. Today is about nurturing navels. Now, we looked at being a God-loving example in the message, Naval Oranges at Last. And we looked at being a word-filled teacher in the message, More Navels. Today, we want to look at being a nurturing leader as we consider nurturing navels. In helping others to be fruitful, they are going to need much more than Bible teaching, and spiritual parenting is a good analogy. Now, John, as we have seen already, mentions three levels of spiritual maturity in the book of 1 John. Firstly, children, secondly, teens, and thirdly, fathers. But there is also another level of spiritual maturity that Paul talks about. There may be more, but there was one other that I thought about as I was studying this, and that's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." There's the fourth level, the babe in Christ. Peter also talks about this same level of spiritual maturity in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Okay, so we have babes, we have children, we have teens, and we have fathers. So in reaching that mature father stage, there are three previous levels of spiritual parenting. The first stage in spiritual parenting is the toddler stage. This is the stage between the brand new Christian, the babe in Christ, and spiritual childhood that John mentions. It is the toddler stage. It is in this stage that the rebel is broken and the flesh is brought into subjection. It is in this stage that there is a learning of self-denial, and the key word for the toddler stage is death. The babe in Christ is still operating in the flesh. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal or fleshy, as to babes in Christ." The baby Christian is still operating in the flesh. But the spiritual toddler begins his spiritual walk. Contrary to the flesh. There's going to be a struggle here between flesh and spirit, but he's starting to walk and there's going to be a battle. Let's follow through some of the verses that talk about this new walk. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death." We died to our old lives, right? "That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father," that's new life, even so we should walk in newness of life." There's going to be a walk that starts. Romans 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh," no longer babes, "but according to the Spirit." Galatians 5:16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to be walking in good works. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." That is, walk spiritually with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Of course, it is a struggle to learn to walk the spiritual walk in such a way. As a toddler falls many times, the spiritual toddler is going to fall many times. And we need to teach the spiritual toddler how to stand again and to keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, a very important verse in that regard is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, which says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we fall, we confess, we claim God's forgiveness, we get up and we walk again. And this needs to be taught. Sometimes people get very discouraged as they seek to follow Christ. And they think they just can't do it. Well, we can't do it. It's only in the Spirit that we can. And they need to be encouraged to keep walking. But it's a battle. The flesh of the spiritual babe is not easily dealt with. And the key word is death. The spiritual toddler has to be taught to die to self, to deny self. And you know, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. In Luke chapter 9, and verse 23, Jesus taught, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, and we desire to come after him, amen? Amen. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's death. That's not suffering. That's death. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And again in John 12, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for life eternal. The spiritual babe, the spiritual toddler has to learn to die to self, die to the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Okay, consider a parent of toddlers. I'm talking about physical parents now. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even a toddler can be taught to obey immediately and sweetly. One author says, a one-year-old can be trained to stop arching his back in protest when he's in his high chair. A one-year-old can be trained to come to his mother when she calls. A one-year-old can be taught to stop reaching for a forbidden object. A three-year-old can be taught to sit attentively in its parent's lap for a few minutes while his parents read to him from a colourful Bible storybook. A four-year-old can learn to pick up his toys and put them in a box when it's time to go to bed. These lessons and dozens like them will require that a parent calmly and consistently repeat the command. And if the child doesn't follow through, then the parent needs to follow through with consequences if there isn't obedience. Now, I don't know whether the author meant that. I'm quoting from someone here, but calmness, consistency, and consequences. That's a helpful way to remember that for parents with young kids here. The child must learn he cannot have his own way. Amen? He must learn he cannot have his own way. A parent should expect to be giving the same instructions, the same reminders, and the same corrective measures over and over again. That is the parent's job. That is the meaning of that word pedia, from which we get our word pediatrics. It's the meaning of the word pedia, or child training, and it is the primary teaching tool. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it mentions that word pedia. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or pedia, that repeated, consistent training of the Lord and admonition of the Lord. The admonition referring to the discipline of the Lord. Now, thinking about the home there as we've just done, can you see the implications for our trying to help the spiritual toddler outside the home? Learning to walk in the Spirit. The first step in any discipleship effort is to be taught the meaning of self-denial. And so that is often, it's normally a large part of what we do in preparing someone for baptism. We go through these verses like we have this morning that the Lord Jesus taught about self-denial. I don't know whether people always get it, but this is absolutely crucial. As they're saying they're going to follow Christ, they're saying no to themselves, they're saying yes to Christ. Now, when it comes to discipling an adult, keep in mind that obedience and self-denial are different issues. Obedience is the outward act. self-denial is that attitude of the heart, and we're after that self-denial that leads to sweet and prompt obedience to the Lord. This heart attitude of self-denial involves dependence on God. And this dependence on God is going to need to be taught. Without an attitude of self-denial, he cannot be delivered from this baby stage of the flesh. And he is not going to be able to learn to walk in the Spirit without self-denial. We in this stage are not primarily on about obedience and Christian habits. That's involved there, but the spiritual walk is more than that. It is about relationship with God. It is about understanding His Word. This relationship with the Lord and our responsiveness to the Lord is the foundation for everything else that is done in the Christian life. And it's got to be learned in those early stages. The spiritual toddler should turn from self-dependence to God-dependence. That's what we're wanting to see. From self-dependence to God-dependence in learning the spiritual walk. So then, if we would disciple others, we must have turned from self-dependence to God-dependence. We must be ahead of them in the spiritual life. May I ask you this morning, have you died to self? Are you seeking to crucify self in the things of life? The second stage in spiritual parenting is the childhood stage. The childhood stage. Firstly, the toddler stage. Secondly, the childhood stage. The childhood stage builds on the toddler stage. We always need to learn lessons of self-denial, and they continue throughout the rest of the Christian life. But John writes what he considers important for our spiritual children. And we need to hear what John says. Throughout the book, and we're going to be looking at all the chapters in 1 John now, throughout the book of 1 John, John says that the spiritual child needs to learn how to have victory in Christ. They need to learn to have victory. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He's writing so that they might have victory in the childhood stage in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We need to know that we can get up again when we fall and keep going. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Yeah, to have that victory, they need to be taught reliance on the Spirit of God. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So they need to be taught victory. The spiritual child needs to learn devotion to Christ, that passion for Christ that we were talking about in the worship part of the service. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, it's how John ends the book. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And I've started to realize over the years, any distraction from Christ, anything that occludes the passion of Christ in our lives, becomes an idol to us. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep that passion for Christ pure in your lives. Thirdly, the spiritual child needs to learn doctrine and how to apply it. One example is the second coming of Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's saying the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. What implication does that have in our lives? Well, it means we ought to abide in him and be ready for his return. So they ought to learn doctrine and how to apply it. And fourthly, the spiritual child needs to start bearing the fruit of Christ-likeness in their lives. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So we want to bear the righteousness of Christ in our lives. And verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let the love of Christ be born in your life in those practical areas. So, as we see ministry or discipleship to the children stage, we're seeing an increasing responsibility, an increasing order, an increasing discipline to the disciples' life. They are becoming more like Christ. And this is going to be true of children in families as well. So let me say in parenthesis here, confusion is associated with the flesh. James 3 and verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, that's the flesh, confusion and every evil thing are there. So confusion is associated with the flesh, and order is associated with godliness. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order and in context, because that reflects the character of God. So there ought to be Christ-likeness. And one of the symptoms there of Christ-likeness is an increasing order and discipline to the life of this new Christian. This should be seen whether it's children in the home or spiritual children that we're talking about. Therefore, we could say, in the toddler stage, the new Christian learns to take orders from Christ. And in the childhood stage, new Christian or the growing Christian learns to value the order of Christ, the beauties of Christ, the treasures that are to be found in His Word. It ought to be time of growing relationship. It ought to be a time of immersion in the Word of God. It's not order per se that we're interested in, but order is just another symptom of growth in the spiritual child's life. It's growth in relationship with the Lord that we're really seeking during this time. It is this relationship with the Lord that empowers us, relationship with the Lord that empowers us to walk the Christian walk. And it is the love of God that is the motivation to walk the Christian walk. In the home, childhood discipleship could be illustrated this way. If 8-year-old Johnny and 6-year-old Susan are having a fight, most parents simply separate them out into different rooms, make them take some time out, or they might punish them in some other fashion, without ever addressing the real issues of the child's heart. How much better it would be if the parent dealing with the situation and coming into this situation where these couple of siblings are fighting would address the heart. Johnny, let me ask you a question. When you were treating your sister the way you were just now, were you pleasing God or were you pleasing yourself? Can you see how that addresses the issue of the heart? Or Susan, when you hit your brother back because he was teasing you, were you pleasing God or were you pleasing yourself? Even a 6-year-old like Susan will have a sense of awe and respect for God in a home where the parents are God-loving and word-filled. And she will realize, even a child that small will realize that she was pleasing herself and not pleasing God. And this addresses the issues of the heart. The home is a helpful analogy in helping new and growing Christians. In the toddler stage, they learnt self-denial. Now in the childhood stage, they're learning to apply this principle of self-denial to every area of their lives, including the hurts that come inevitably as we seek to walk out there in the world. They should become saturated with the Word of God, and that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ should be growing in this stage. One author says, often when discipling adults who are just beginning to put their lives back together after recent conversion, you will need to help them bring a measure of order back to their lives. The lives reflect the chaos of fleshy living, usually in several areas. For example, you may have to help them to establish some rules in regard to finances. Perhaps they might need to destroy their credit cards or make a budget. There is so much in the Word of God, especially the book of Proverbs, on handling money. And this comes for a word-filled Christian that is seeking a relationship with the Lord. You may have to help them set up principles of communication that will help solve problems with family members without blowing up or without claiming up. Can you see how this is drawn out of being filled with the Word and out of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? They may need to establish some regular routines of exercise or work out a diet that will help them lose weight that is endangering their health. And so we're seeing increasing discipline and order come into life. They may need to switch jobs, eliminate corruptive friends, forsake sensual music, or address ungodly habits. Most important, they may need similar structure in their devotional time and indeed in coming to church. If there are, those kind of habits are not developed, then there is not the opportunity to feed on the Word of God and develop relationship with the Lord. Can you see then, if we are to be spiritual parents, spiritually nurturing new and growing Christians, that we must be ahead of them in the spiritual walk. We must love the Lord ourselves. We must be bearing the fruit of Christ's likeness in our lives. We must be experiencing victory ourselves. We must know the Word of God. We must be modeling the Christian life. Are we aware that others are watching our lives, that we are discipling by the way we go about things, that we're modeling the Christian life to others and the way we lead? The third stage in spiritual parenting is the teen stage. The toddler stage is the rebel broken. The childhood stage is the disciple trained. The teen stage is the servant deployed. The toddler stage emphasizes self-denial. The childhood stage emphasizes renewing of the mind, renewing of the mind through receiving of the Word of God. And the teen stage emphasizes using the growth in the two previous stages now to be a blessing to others. These spiritual stages are a helpful way to consider discipleship, and indeed the Word of God itself makes these categories, but they overlap heaps. Even the brand new Christian, as they're learning self-denial, can start to become filled with the Word of God, and they can start to serve. Even then, they can start to witness. I often tell people, when I get an opportunity, if someone trusts Christ, go home and tell your family what you've done. A child, a young person, an adult, they can begin to be a servant for the Lord straight away. But after the consolidation of the toddler stage and the childhood stage, the disciple is now ready, now especially ready to serve. John speaks to this teen stage or this young man stage, saying in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, I'll start about halfway through the verse. It says, I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. And also about halfway through verse 14 of chapter 2. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So what John is saying is they are now word-filled. They have enjoyed a measure of victory, and they are now ready to serve others. They are strong. So we have been motivated by Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and 20. You know those verses well, don't you? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. No one, no Christian is left out from that. We are to be making disciples. Just as we've been motivated by that, we're to use that to motivate others to go out also. The parent or the spiritual parent now functions as a kind of coach, just helping the teen or spiritual teen when they get stuck. Now, I've seen people, even in the childhood stage, beginning to serve. I've seen children in this church washing dishes. I've seen children taking platters of food around after the service and serving people in that kind of way. It's lovely to see. I've seen teens invite friends to church, and I've even seen sometimes those friends saved and follow Christ. I've seen young adults go on mission trips and come back fired up because they've seen God use them in other people's lives. Awana has been proven to be a great training ground for young people in this church. It's great to see kids saved, but do you know, over the years, the 15 plus years that we've had Awana in this church, we've never seen a child saved come into the church and consistently attend with its parents. We came close once with the Cullens, but but they've now drifted away from the Lord too. Not once have we seen someone come and stay. But that may not be the most important thing about Awana for this church. It may be that the most important thing about Awana for this church is that it's a great training ground for our young people. How do you explain the gospel? You learn that in Awana. How do you teach a Bible verse? You learn that in Awana. How do you work as a team with other Christians? You start to learn that in Awana, and so it is a great opportunity to serve Christ and learn how to serve Christ. Parents do well to encourage their children to serve, whether it be hospitality or outreach or practical help. The list is endless. So, can you see? It will be the same for spiritual parents. That maturing Christian that we have been discipling ought to be taught serve. They have not become a disciple of Christ until they themselves are obeying Matthew 28:18-20, that they're going out and making disciples. So please allow me to ask again, are you discipling others? And if you are discipling others, are you encouraging them to disciple yet others? If we come back to our analogy of navel orange trees. You nurture navel oranges by teaching, remember the levels we've been through today, by teaching self-denial, by teaching them to think like Christ because they're now filled with the Word of God, and by teaching service. Self-denial, to think like Christ, and to serve. That's how you nurture navels. Discipleship in the home is absolutely critical and a good analogy for us to know how we should be going about discipling in the world. Let's pray. Father, your word provides not only motivation, but the instructions how to do it. Lord, I pray that there might be a spirit of desire here today among your people. I pray that there might be a hunger. Lord, I've never led anyone to Christ, let alone disciple them. Lord, would you give me someone? Lord, help me. I don't want to waste my years on earth. I want to live for you. I want to be used of you. Would you use me, Lord? Would you show me how? Would you give me someone to disciple? Would you just pray quietly where you are? Seek the Lord. Seek what He wants for your life.